in case you didn't see, Zach reported that they're going to allow a one-time-per-game coaches challenge next year.
That's awesome.
Okay. That is good.
So,
how many games before Pop challenges something stupid?
Don't do the.
He's gonna, you know what he's going to challenge? He's going to challenge the third quarter interview. That's what
he's gonna We're doing the pod before the pod. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, and we've got a lot to talk about because we are 48 hours roughly from the start of free agency. Andrew Hahn, please monitor Twitter during this podcast recording. There's breaking news. Feel free to break in with all the beeps and whistles, and just, I don't care if it's the greatest point being made in history, blast right in. All right. Joining us from Boston, Massachusetts area is Jackie McMullen. How are you doing, Jackie?
I'm good. Very busy, but it's okay. Yes. That's what we love. That's what we love.
And see, it's A-Team Friday. So from Dallas, Texas, actually Fort Worth, Texas, if he's going to be accurate, but from the Metroplex, you're just Texas in general. Texas man is Tim Band McMahon.
Timothy. Howdy, partners.
Timothy, the Dallas Mavericks are going to be busy. I wonder who they're going to sign. But first off, I want to talk about Jackie's neck of the woods. Kemba Walker, Woj reporting, lining up for the Celtics. First off, Jackie, you think that'll get done? And what were your impressions of that when it came down?
I do think it will get done. I think, wink, wink, it's sort of already done, unless, I guess, because we always have to couch these things, unless Michael Jordan changes his mind at the 11th hour and decides to throw a lot of money Kemba's way. But I don't know, maybe the damage has already been done there, not sure. I do expect Kemba to be here, and I think this is what I would say. I would say it's a nice save after a really brutal couple of weeks for the Celtics. I mean, Kyrie, that's been a foregone conclusion for a little while. But Al Horford was a surprise. I think we talked about this last week. And it just changed a lot of things. Aaron Baines opted into his contract thinking that Al was going to be there and that they were going to be contending. And then they ended up trading him because the landscape changed so quickly. So for them to be able to plug Kemba Walker in there, I think is a nice save. I'm not going to, this idea that people in Boston are just so burned by Kyrie. Well, Kemba Walker's so much better than Kyrie Irving. I mean, stop it. Just stop it. Kyrie Irving is a better basketball player, a more talented player, and no one will convince me differently. But maybe Kemba Walker's a better fit. You know, I spoke with Brad Stevens yesterday. He was fresh down from the World Cup in Paris. And, He talked about the idea that, we had seven perimeter players, all well-intentioned guys, but the pieces didn't fit. And he's correct. And I think they're hoping that Kemba Walker will fit because he tends to be a guy that everybody likes, a malleable player. He's similar to Kyrie, and certainly I had just said on Golic and Wingo, it's amazing to me. Brad is a defensive guy. We talk about it all the time, but this is now his third shoot first high volume point guard. It's kind of funny, true. Right? Isaiah Thomas, that's Kyrie, true. Now Kemba Walker. So kind of just an interesting aside.
I do think Kemba, if you weigh the downgrade in talent versus the upgrade in chemistry, I think you can argue that the Celtics are coming out at least even in this deal. And like you said, it's definitely a nice recovery for having lost Kyrie and really – not knowing where they were going after that. And, people in Dallas, there's some people who are upset that the Mavericks didn't really get a shot at Kemba or looks like they won't really get a shot at Kemba. There's some people who are like, well, I'm not sure about that fit anyway. And, I think that for Kemba, the Celtics make a ton more sense than the Mavericks simply because he walks into the Celtics and he will have a very similar role to what he's used to. He will be the closer. He'll be the man, as opposed to coming to Dallas and, is he the second option? Is he the third option? So I think it's a great fit for the Celtics. I think it's an even better fit for Kemba.
It's a lot to unpack here because, number one, he kind of ignored the Knicks altogether, didn't even give him a chance, his hometown team, which I think says something interesting. The other thing is I was looking at a poll that was taken in the last couple of days that came out yesterday, the most hated player in every state in the U.S. And, you know, I don't know how scientific the poll was, but, you know, basically it was a lot of Durant's, a lot of LeBron's, some James Harden. But in
only
New England,
in Utah, James Harden.
That's right. You saw that. It was only in Utah.
Yeah.
But then in Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, all Kyrie. He's not even gone officially yet. They already hate him.
Yeah, it's not good here.
It was a fast pivot. I'm kind of surprised that Kemba wouldn't at least take a little bit more time. But, you know, Jackie, in the last 5 years, now Al Horford is leaving. But Al Horford is picked there with multiple choices. Gordon Hayward has picked Boston with multiple choices. And if this goes through, Kemba, with likely multiple choices, would have picked Boston. I don't think we can say that Boston isn't a free agent destination anymore. That would be three max guys in 5 years with other options to have picked there.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I, you know, what we can debate about Boston, I guess, is, did they react too quickly? Because, you know, when people talk about an even swap for Kyrie and Kemba, well, that's not really true, guys, because you've lost Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, and by taking on Kemba, you've lost Marcus Morris and you renounced Terry Rozier. Okay? Those are four players that were key contributors to your team the previous year. So it's not quite as simple as all that. Now,
fair point.
What I think is just, does this work? You are so thin up front if you're the Boston Celtics. You've got to bring somebody in. And now you only, if you take on Kemba, you've only got about $4.8 million left, I think. Who do you get there? I mean, is it Robin Lopez? I guess that would make some sense. It's not going to be his brother anymore. It's certainly not going to be Vucevic anymore. You know, so you've made a decision here to pivot on the fly. I think because of their skill sets being so similar, perhaps this just seemed more seamless. And I do think that Kemba Walker is the best player of all those people we just mentioned. That's, you know.
How do you guys feel about small guards when it comes down to it?
You know, you worry about it in the postseason, at least I do. That's when I start to worry about it, when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I worry about it postseason and, you know, at Kemba's age, and, you know, Kyrie for that matter, I worry about, you know, how are they going to age? Look, Chris Paul, I mean, how's that contract going to age? I think those are all legitimate concerns.
I'm not dogmatic about this, but because I recognize if you're a great player, you're a great player. But I do think that there's a, and by the way, Steph Curry, in my mind, is not a small guard. Steph Curry is not short.
Yeah, he's small-ish.
He's small-ish. He also happens to be the greatest shooter of all time.
Well, that's
yeah. I mean, it's a little different when your range is 35 feet.
But you can't really completely physically intimidate him. The launch angle that he shoots at overcomes it. And what I'm getting to here is I'm trying to get inside what Michael Jordan is thinking. They knew for a long time what Kemba's price was going to be. They knew he was going to be a max player. They knew that at the trade deadline this year. They knew that at the trade deadline last year.
Yes.
Okay. They let it get all the way to this point.
And they knew what their payroll was around that.
That's right.
Okay, but they did not know, and neither did we, and we all forecasted it improperly, that Kemba Walker would be eligible for the Supermax. And
but
I don't
to
know
me,
how that
forget
changed.
You know what,
well,
though?
But,
I think if they'd have come and said, Kemba, look, we love you. We know you're eligible for the Supermax. We can't do that. We can do a five-year normal max, though. We can put, 5 years, 190 on the table, which is, you know, about $50 million that he's getting.
Which we
going
don't know
elsewhere.
If they did, by the way.
Yeah, we don't.
Right.
We
and
don't.
And but to your point, to me, the criticism of the Hornets isn't that they're not doing everything they can to keep Kemba Walker now. It's that they didn't see this coming and they didn't get out in front of it and go ahead and launch the rebuild around a really nice return for what they could have gotten for him at the deadline or last summer or even the previous deadline.
Well, but maybe
deadline.
They do. Here's what I'm trying to get to. I was canvassing some people in the league last week to see if the Hornets were trying to use their first round pick to get off of money. Mm-hmm. To try to move off of Marvin Williams or move off of Nick Batum to do something to prepare for Kemba's free agency, because Mitch Kupchak, their GM, came out and said, not once but twice, like to make sure everybody heard, they were not going to pay the tax. So
recruiting pitch, right?
Right, but okay, that doesn't mean that they weren't going to sign him.
It's just we're gonna get worse if we sign you. As a 10 seed in the East, we'll take a step back.
That's right. So here's what I think, guys. I think Michael Jordan, I don't know this. I want to be clear. I'm just reading his moves. I don't think Michael Jordan thinks that Kemba Walker is a max player.
Well, and no offense, but if you're him, can you blame him? See, it's different for the Celtics because of the players they're going to put around him. His value to the Celtics is very different than his value is to the Charlotte Hornets. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. I would say he's not worth the max on a flawed roster. But to Jackie's point, when there's other quality players around, and you're dropping him into a playoff caliber roster, then I think it is worth it for the Celtics to, you know, if they're going to have a chance to compete, they've got to have a bucket getter like him and a closer like him.
So here's the thing: like, if you look at it this way, is Kemba Walker a difference maker? The answer may be no. But if he's your second or third best player, like he might be in Boston, maybe it's a different story.
Well, and to me, it's all situational. And here's the other thing. If you're the Celtics, right, you get this punch in the gut. Horford, by the way, they were as surprised as we were that he was going to get the kind of offers that apparently he's going to get wherever he's going to get them, okay? They were surprised pleasantly.
Which is still the biggest mystery.
Content, it seems to be. But having said that, now you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, we think Kawhi Leonard is leaving Toronto. Now, we don't know that to be true or not, but there's a good, you know, there's a good chance that he will, right? It's the Clippers or I don't believe the LA stuff. Do you, Brian, by the way?
You're talking about the Lakers?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time believing anything that is, you know, quote, reported about Kawhi other than that when he's having the meetings.
Well, the only thing I know, but we've been told before by people close to him that he's not a fan of pairing up with LeBron. We've been told that. Why would that change now?
Well, I have been told that, but I can't assume that that's still true. But yes, I have been told that.
Really, really surprised if Kawhi, fresh off being the lone superstar on a championship team, would want to go into a situation where he's arguably the number three option. That would be very surprising.
Although he should be the number one option, I think, on almost any team at this point.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I do.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, or go to the Clippers, right? Is that what you were going to say?
Yep.
Yeah.
As the number one guy on a championship caliber team.
Right. So if we're playing the game, let's just say there's a chance Kawhi's gone from Toronto. Let's just say that the Sixers are going to have trouble hanging on to your two guys. If you're the Celtics, you're looking at all of this and saying, this is not the time to pull. If we can plug Kemba in, we still have a shot to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and then see what happens.
The Bucks also have some pretty significant financial challenges in terms of keeping that together. And they're going to lose some pieces. It's just, you know, and really the biggest question there, I think, at this point is, can they hold on to Brogdon, or is somebody going to swoop in and, Wendy, like you wrote about today, make the kind of sign the kind of offer sheet that's just going to be extremely difficult for them to stomach?
The interesting thing about Brogdon and that situation is that I did some reporting, and I know that George Hill isn't going to tip the balance of power in the league, but even though the Bucks are going to waive George Hill to get out from underneath the $19 million they owe him, they're trying to figure out a way to keep him. And the reason I think that's interesting is I do think that they're worried about what Brogdon might get on the market.
And Brooke Lopez too. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And Jackie, really, with where the Celtics are here, they need Jason Tatum to get back on the runway.
They need Tatum, we need Brown. To, in a big way.
I'm going to go down on this ship. I still think Jason Tatum can be like a top 10 player. And
a year ago when he's coming off a rookie season, that was a consensus opinion. So, I mean, to abandon that opinion because he had one rocky season under, you know, in ridiculously chaotic circumstances, I think would be a little short-sighted.
But you bring in Kemba Walker, he's a ball-dominant point guard. So if the issue with Tatum was that he wasn't in the flow enough, that he didn't get enough looks or shots because of Kyrie, I don't know how much that's going to change with Kemba Walker. At some point, Jason Tatum, and I wrote about this today, you know, these guys, not just Kyrie Irving, everybody else needs to take responsibility for their own shortcomings in this mm-hmm. disaster of a season they just completed. And you can't say, well, I didn't get shots. No one, I didn't get enough minutes. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. And so the defense was an issue with him. And the motor was kind of an issue with him, which surprised me. Now, I will say this. I'm not making excuses for Jason Tatum. He's a young guy with a new baby that he's got to take care of. And I think there's some responsibilities there. I think he's got a lot on his plate. Maybe he didn't manage, and I don't know that. This is conjecture on my part, that I don't think that's the easiest thing. So let's see what he does. You guys are right. He's got to come back guns blazing the minute preseason kicks in, because I still think he's a special player, but he didn't look like one for large parts of last year.
Yeah, and Hayward has to take another huge step forward after,
yes.
As you wrote, a rough, which, look, with that injury missing a full year, you couldn't expect it to be smooth. They need him to look more like, you know, the last couple of years in Utah version of Hayward
right.
than the last year in Boston yep. version.
And, you know, it's funny, his numbers were better than you think. Hayward, you know, when you look at him mm-hmm. down the stretch, he was coming around, but again, you know, they were just in a place where he was an afterthought at that point, an offensive afterthought, I'm talking mostly. He could, you know, he very well could be the best passer on their roster. I don't think and you know, when Gordon Hayward is at his best, what is he doing? He's bringing the ball up and handling the ball and dishing it off. Now, again, I ask, with Kemba Walker there, is that something he is going to do a little more of? I don't know. I think it would behoove the Celtics for Kemba and for him. I think at times when Kyrie was able to play off the ball, and I would say the same for Kemba, you can screen for him and get him some open shots. That's good for the team. The Celtics have redundant players at the same mm-hmm. position. Their talent is all like wing. They're all wing players.
Well, the point guard market and the center market is actually pretty deep, and so I do think that they can get a decent big. I mean, I'm going to list you some of the free agent centers. Okay, you've got Nikola Vucevic, you've got DeMarcus Cousins, Al Horford, Brook Lope. Well, I'm just listening, just not necessarily for the Celtics, but just for everybody
general.
To realize
yeah,
who's out there. So Vucevic, Cousins, Horford, Brook Lopez, Robin Lopez, DeAndre Jordan, Jonas Valanciunas, who I think is staying in Memphis, Enes Kanter, Willie Cauley-Stein, who I think might get let out of his restricted zone, Ed Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwayne Dedmon, Boban, Kevon Looney, hell, your guy, how do you pronounce his name? Your Maxi.
Who?
Maxi.
He's more a four than a five. I thought you were going to talk about my boy Salah Mejri.
Salah Mejri.
Yeah,
hey, Nene's available.
No, he's going to opt in.
Oh, okay.
Now,
anyway.
Now, I'm sure the Rockets will give him up in a trade if you are interested.
All right, so I remember playing this game back in 2016 and end up going under. 2016 was the year we had all the cap space. We don't have quite that much this summer. I think in 2016 we had about $530 million in cap space. This summer it's in the mid-fours. It obviously is going to fluctuate depending on what some teams do with some last-minute options and some players do some last-minute options. And I remember going through and with these players and saying, how far down the list are we going to get where we see guys get max contracts? And, you know, Nick Batum was pretty far down the list, and he got one. So
no,
I want to play.
He didn't get one. He just got paid a ton of money. It wasn't max.
It was, I think he got the max for the first year. It was the max in the first year, wasn't it? And then he didn't get the full raises.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
All right, the NBA draft is over, which means Summer League is coming up. And if you're going to be in Vegas, I'm sure you will be excited not only to see your team's draft picks play, but also any of the shows that are going on the Strip on a nightly basis, concerts and other shows. And then, of course, now we have NBA free agency, where a bunch of your favorite teams are about to sign big-time players, or they might lose some big-time players. We won't focus on that. And you're going to want to get ahead of the game as you look towards when the NBA schedule comes out and there's to pick out those games that you want. So how do you get tickets for all of that? How do you get tickets for anything, whether it's NBA related or not? The best answer is Vivid Seats. They are an online ticket marketplace that is dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, our listeners can watch their favorite teams, of course, and their favorite artists perform right with your own eyes in person. Vivid Seats helps everyone find their seats to those live events, those sports, concerts, don't forget the theater, and of course more. And not only are they great with their prices, and this is really what's most important to me, they have a very easy purchasing experience because you don't need a headache when you want to buy tickets to an event. So here's what we're going to do for you. If you go and download the Vivid Seats app, you can put in the podcast code HOOPS, that's H-O-O-P-S, and listeners can receive 10% off their first ticket purchase on Vivid Seats. And, of course, all of those ticket purchases are 100% back with a guarantee. So you go to the App Store or Google Play, you download the Vivid Seats app, and again, the first-time customers put in promo code HOOPS, get 10% off your first order, and then make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to that favorite live event.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
All right, well, let's play the game. Let's play the game. All right, I'll start with Kevin Durant.
I love games. Yep. I love games. I'm very competitive. I just want to warn you.
The game is called Max or No Max. All right, Kevin Durant. Max or no max?
Max. Max.
All right. Kawhi Leonard. Max or no max?
Max.
All right. Kyrie Irving.
Max.
Max. Max. Kemba Walker.
Max.
Max.
Klay Thompson.
Max.
Max.
Okay, that's five. By the way, I described in my story today with Ramona, one of the things that could be an issue with Klay Thompson, when they gave Steph Curry the max 2 years ago, they did not give him a player option, and they did not give him a no-trade clause. Those are two things that Steph Curry absolutely could have gotten. But he got the supermax. He qualified and got the supermax. Mm-hmm. He got $200 million. Klay is not going to get the supermax, and I'm sure that he wants a player option and a no-trade clause. And so one thing that'll get interesting here, I have no doubt that the Warriors are going to offer the five-year 190. Mm-hmm. The question is, are they going to offer those two clauses, and is that going to be an issue? And if it is an issue, will Klay go take a meeting or two, or will they get it settled? That's something to watch. All right. Jimmy Butler. Now we get into interesting. Max or no max?
I still think max.
Just because of the market. Just because of the market. Whether he's
max years. No, max years.
Max years. I still think he gets five from Philly.
McMahon is living on five from Philly.
Jackie, you're backing out on me.
No, I agree with you. Max.
Okay. I don't know if he's going to get a five-year offer on Sunday, but I wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with one. I know that you're not just saying it, McMahon. I know you're saying it with information, but I'm seeing Jimmy out there being attached to other teams, which makes me wonder if there's not a leverage situation trying to be created.
Well, and we also all understand that, you know, it's kind of our job to filter information and figure out who's lying. And so there's, you know, that's part of the game this time of year.
All right. So, but I agree. I think he's getting max. That's six maxes. All right. Tobias Harris.
This is where it gets dicey.
Max, but not years. Not the 5 years.
I can go with that. This is the first one that I'm not really confident on, but I do think he will end up getting a 4 year max. I still think most likely scenario is he stays in Philly.
But see, here's the thing about this game, right? So we've already decided on six maxes. Is that right? Are we already there?
This would be number seven. Yeah.
Okay, number seven. So we know there are a lot of teams with max space, and somebody, it's the, you know, some, the music stops and someone doesn't have a chair. And if you don't have the chair you want, maybe you grab Tobias Harris and he becomes your chair. That's what we have to think about.
And then Philly, you know, Philly's got, they've got the chairs if they want them with bird rights. It's just,
and you know what?
You keep it together, you give it at least one more year, and if it doesn't work, then you, you know, you figure out how to kind of reduce the payroll next summer.
And I believe Josh Harris, he looked me in the eye and told me he was going to re-sign both of these guys. He told not just me, I think he's told you guys as well, or I know he's told others. I mean, I'm going to take the man at his word.
Okay. I think if Philly doesn't offer the max, I think he probably gets it out there, but I think it may, he may have to search for it a little bit. A team, like I know that, up in Minnesota, they're scrounging around to see if they can clear cap space. And one of the guys who is a speculation, you hear what I just said? Speculation that they may target might be Tobias, but they're not there with space. And maybe the Nets if they don't get Durant. And maybe over here. Maybe Dallas. Maybe New Orleans.
I don't know that Dallas at this point has decided yet whether they would rather have Tobias Harris on the max, which would still require some tinkering, or, you know, you're kind of Patrick Beverley plus, you know, a starting caliber wing or a starting caliber big. You know, you're 2 to 3 quality role players. I don't know if the Mavericks have made that determination at this point.
All right. Well, speaking of the Mavericks, Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, he gets max.
Max. It's already done, probably.
I mean, that was done when they made the trade.
Yeah, I know, but I have to go over it. All right, that's 8 maxes now. Mm-hmm. All right, D'Angelo Russell.
I don't think so. I think he gets a nice contract. I don't know where, but I don't think it's max.
Well, he's going to be expendable should Kyrie
maybe
go where, maybe, unless they do a sign and trade or something of that nature.
Sounds like a no, Jackie, from you.
Yeah, I think it's someone's going to pay him though. I'm just going to go back to that.
Well, this is a strange scenario. This is an odd little moment in the NBA world. I kind of think he might get more money if he's restricted as opposed to if he's unrestricted. Because, and I think Malcolm Brogdon, I wrote about this today, fits in the same bowl too. And this is the little window that Otto Porter was in 2 years ago and Zach LaVine was in last year. While being a restricted free agent sucks, because it deters a lot of teams from making offers that they think your home team will match. If you are deemed a gettable free agent, a gettable restricted free agent, one that your team might not match, that's when you get these awesome deals. That's when you get these deals with player options and balloon payments up front and, you know, 2 years with an option and all these things. And that's what Zach LaVine got last year from the Kings, because they thought the Bulls might not match, and what the Nets gave out repeatedly to guys like Alan Crabb and Otto Porter and Tyler Johnson, because they were like, well, maybe they won't match, you know. But if you are unrestricted, you don't have to not only outbid the other teams, but you don't have to mess with the home team. And so I actually think if he stays restricted, if they don't get Durant, if they just get Kyrie, that he may actually get a stronger offer. I know that sounds strange. But,
no, that makes sense. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
I'm not making that up. I had some people describe that to me. So, okay, so that's our first no. Okay, what about Nikola Vucevic?
Big contract, not max. I'm gonna guess that he's gonna get a 5-year deal from Orlando in the $125 million range.
Okay. I think there are a lot of other teams that are interested in him. I think the Celtics, before they went down the Kemba path, were interested
in him. The
Kings,
as Wendy mentioned today.
Yeah, yeah. What about
the Mavericks?
I think there's a chance he ends up as a max player. I do. I think he's going to end up as a max player.
I don't think he will be in Dallas. I don't see that as a fit. And that's based on information.
What about the Clippers? If they just don't go the way.
I don't think I think if the Clippers don't get Kawhi or Durant or Kyrie or, you know, their premium, I don't think they're spending all of it. I think they're going to be patient. Of course, it's one thing
maybe
to say you're
going
to be patient.
Sign Al Horford. Right. Sign Al Horford for less than a max. He's not.
We're going to talk about Al Horford in a minute. All right. So I'm going to say no on Vucevic. I think it's big, but not a max, kind of like, McMahon. But you could be
I think
right,
someone's going to panic and pay him. I think somebody will panic and pay him.
We will see panicking on for sure, probably about Monday at noon. Chris Middleton.
Max.
Yeah, I think he's a max.
People
like him.
I don't know if he's a max player, but I think he's going to get it.
That's a whole other question. That's a whole different game. Whether they're the max.
No, that's not what our game is. Our game is whether they're getting it or
right.
not. Yeah. This is squarely in what I call the hometown dilemma. You're familiar with the hometown discount? This is the opposite. Mm-hmm. If a player, the reason the bird rights were put in so that you could give a player an extra year, the fifth year, was to deter that player from leaving. But this can be worked against you in the hometown dilemma and also known as the Al Horford principle, where Al Horford got the most money offered to him by the Hawks 3 years ago, but it wasn't the five-year max. And he said, I want a five-year max. And the Hawks were like, I've described this on the podcast before. You know what happened. And so, if Chris Middleton gets a four-year offer from, say, the Lakers, the Bucks can offer him something that's a little bit under the max, but they can say, look, it's 5 years. It's more money. He can say, yeah, but you're not offering a five-year max, but we're offering more money. But no. So this is the hometown dilemma. Kemba Walker is another hometown dilemma player. To a certain extent, Nikola Vucevic is a hometown dilemma player. If Middleton wants to put the screws to the Bucks, he's going to be able to do so. And I think he's getting it. I think the Lakers would love to have him.
He's on their list. We know that.
The Mavs would love to have him too, but they just don't think he's going to be available.
The
Bucks have to keep him, and I think they have to keep Lopez. And I think the Brogdon, again, because it's not just about competing next season. It's about making sure that Giannis feels like he can be a long-term on a long-term contender up there. I think the Bucks are going to have to pay up for all three of those guys.
I think that's 10 maxes, Jackie. All right, here we go. Here's Al Horford.
No.
Not max, but, and
he's going to get a really nice deal.
You guys talked about it, 4 years, 112. I think that – I don't know if he gets that. I know that was the big rumor, but it's like at this point – it's still the biggest mystery.
Here are the teams that I have either reported or have been reported as teams interested in Al Horford. And please, if you know of any that I haven't listed, please do. Dallas, New Orleans, Sacramento, Philadelphia.
Yep.
Los Angeles
Lakers.
Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Lakers. And the Lakers. Yeah. Lakers as
anybody
plan
else
B.
I'm
He's
missing?
A plan B. Well, New Orleans, I was wondering if you had that one because that to me is a sneaky good one.
I think New Orleans is really in there. Mark Stein reported the other day it's not.
See, I love the fit in New Orleans because I think New Orleans can be a quality West playoff team next season if they added Al Horford. And, when you always kind of got to look at agent ties. His agent also represents Drew Holiday, who I know the Pelicans want to make sure that Drew Holiday is happy and feels like this isn't some rebuild, that he's the leader of a team that's trying to win now while developing all this young talent. So I think there's a lot of reasons that makes sense.
Well, one of the big things when you look at New Orleans is, do they intend to pay Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram is extension eligible this summer. Maybe they pay him this year. Maybe they wait till next year. Because they are on the hook for big money for Drew Holiday. They're intending to pay Brandon Ingram, thinking about that team also having to pay Al Horford. I don't know if that all works out. But if they're not so sure about Brandon Ingram, committing to Al Horford as your two veterans, Holiday and Horford, to bring along the young guys that they're going to have. There are worse guys to invest in because both of those guys play both ends of the court. Both of those guys are versatile, and both of those guys are tremendous in the locker room. You could do way worse than that. So that's why I think New Orleans is right there, even though Stein says
no. From a fit standpoint, with Zion, I mean, Horford to me would be a great fit. He's a great passer. You know, he's a guy who you have to respect him as a perimeter shooter. I mean, he's obviously a great defender, a great kind of middle linebacker of your defense. I think it makes a lot of sense.
But I also think if I'm the Pelicans, I'm waiting on Brandon Ingram because we've got all sorts of very serious, potentially serious health issues that you might want to see play out before you do anything.
Well, health, and he has not had an extended run where you say, you know what, there's the guy who was the number two pick in the draft. You've seen glimpses. You haven't seen he's still an unproven product.
All right. I don't think this guy is getting maxed, but I'm going to bring him up to talk about him. We mentioned him a minute ago. Malcolm Brogdon.
Love that kid. Just love everything about him. Love the way he plays. Love the way don't you just feel like you're watching an old grainy 80s NBA playoff film when you watch him play? That's how I feel.
Yeah, he's older. He's a 40% three-point shooter. They didn't shoot threes in the 80s.
But he's just,
he is an efficient, complimentary player who can also create one-on-one, 6'5", versatile defender. Other than the foot problems, there's no smudges on him. He's just not maybe the elite athlete. But I think his deal ends up, I think he gets $80 million at least.
93% from the foul line, league best.
He's just everything about him. 55%, I think, effective field goal percentage. He does everything right. He does everything right. Someone is going to be really, really happy if they're able to pry him away from the Bucks.
Yeah, so the Bucks, I just want to go over some of what the Bucks have committed. So let's just assume that they're going to give the max to Middleton. That's $32 million for him. They actually do have cap space coming in because they made some maneuvers around the draft. They have about $14 million in cap space, which they could use on Brook Lopez.
They got rid of Snell, right? Let me ask you this. I was curious when this happened. You know, they re-upped with Bledsoe. They gave him the extension, during the season. Wasn't it February or so? And I wonder what you made of that and if you would have done that if you were the Bucks. The money is not outrageous. I think it's, I forget what it is. It's 4 for 15 to 60.
It's 4 for 70, but it's 3 and about 53 is guaranteed. So
right.
I think that needs to be pointed out. He's making, his number for next season is 15.6.
And that's not now, bad.
I want you to think about this for a second. Think about the point guard market. Now, I read off the centers a minute ago. I'm going to read off the free agent point guards here in a second. Let me get the list. And I want you to think of whether you think $15 million is a good salary for, a good point guard this summer. Okay, so the guys at the top are Irving, Walker, D'Angelo Russell, Brogdon. Then we got Ricky Rubio. I think Ricky Rubio is going to get about 15 a year, and I think he's going to get it from the Pacers.
Pacers, right, yeah.
Hey, if you guys like this podcast, there's this up-and-coming young man who you may want to check out. He does a little bit of writing. He's not very good yet. We're trying to nurture him along. He does a little bit of podcasting. We're trying to be very supportive of him. His name is Zach Lowe. He has this little podcast called The Lowe Post. I'm sure none of you have heard of it. That's why I'm here to tell you all about it. We're going to use our promotional might to give the Lowe lowly, low post, a little bit of love here so that maybe you might check it out. You know, Zach is still learning. He's new. He doesn't quite understand the league very, very much, but, you know, help him along. You know, you may, you know, be able to be, sort of be his buddy and watch him learn about the league. And please check out the Low Post. And of course, you would get the Low Post on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast acquisition apparatus. What do we think Terry Rozier is getting?
Well, I think in a perfect world, he would have liked to get around the same, 15, 16 million, but I don't know who's going to pay him that in light of what's gone on this year. And not only what went on this year, but some of the decisions he made after the season ended to be so public about his frustrations. I know I talked to some GMs that really turned him off.
Well,
he'd have made a hell of a lot more if he was a free agent last summer.
Let's do it backwards. Who are the teams who have cap space who want a point guard? Celtics. But we think they're going to be Celtics, Pacers, Nets kind of have their targets, right? We kind of think we know what's going to go on there. All right.
Right.
We have Suns who have about 14 or 15 million. We have Mavericks. We have Orlando, depending on what happens with Vucevic. We have Chicago who has 23 million. Who am I forgetting that may want a point guard? I think Minnesota would like a point guard, but they don't have big space. Right now, all they have is the mid-level. Lakers.
I think the Mavericks and Patrick Beverley are going to end up being a match. He wants 3 years, 40-plus million. My hunch is that they get him for a little south of that. You know, 3 years, something in the mid to high 30s.
If Rubio gets 3 and 45, how would you feel that would affect the market?
That would hurt guys like Rozier. That's low, right? I don't think it's low, but I'm just saying if we're talking about the market.
I think Rozier, man, we'll see. I mean, maybe the Knicks with a short-term offer come in and, you know, and that's kind of his landing spot, but I think it's going to be
and Charlotte, if Kemba Walker goes, they're going to need a point guard too, right?
They have no space.
Yeah,
they'd have the mid-level. So right. I think 15.
Well, I mean, those guys are worth more than the mid-level. They're not going to go for the mid-level.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think 15 might be kind of the going number. Like if Beverly gets around 15,
that's good.
Yeah, I think that's Beverly
like
gets
if Terry Rozier gets 15 million a year, he's going to be happy. Well, I think he's going to be pretty.
I mean, if that's what Rubio gets,
I would bet the under on Rozier there.
Me too. I would as well.
Okay.
I would.
What do you think the market is for Derrick Rose?
Interesting. Nice rebound, but still a guy that you have to worry about how many games he can play, right?
Yeah.
And how old is Derrick at this point? He feels like he's 1,000 years old, and I know he's not.
I don't think he's 30 yet.
Is he 30?
Yeah, but his knees are 73.
He's 30.
Yeah, yeah.
So the thing about last year that was sort of like, wow, is he actually started shooting the three.
Yeah, he shot 38%, didn't he? I think 38%.
37, close enough.
Okay,
yeah.
37, yeah.
On three a game, which was, you know, not nothing.
Pretty good, you know, right. But he only played 51 games.
Yeah, so I bet you ends up getting a one-year deal around mid-level or a two-year deal around mid-level.
All right, what about like Corey Joseph?
You know, Darren Collison? Oh, go ahead.
Okay, Darren Collison is an interesting name. Now, Collison made $10 million last year. He's a he's an excellent three-point shooter, over 40% the last few years.
But because he only takes wide-open threes, he doesn't shoot very many.
He'd get a lot of wide-open threes in L.A.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, that was the Steve Kerr role. Steve Kerr only took wide open threes. Well, he tried to, at least.
Don't you think the Kings take a look at some of those guys, maybe, depending on what the price is?
But, for a backup. I mean, yeah, I'm just pointing out, like, you know, Corey Joseph, you know, if you have a good, like, Corey Joseph might fit in Phoenix.
Yeah. Everybody likes Corey Joseph when he comes to their team, but you know what? He's one of those guys that everybody likes, but somehow he never stays, right? You know, there's players like that, right? He's one of those.
A guy who will be in the league 12 years and play for 7 teams.
And everyone's like, we really liked him, but we just traded him.
I forgot to mention one guy in the Max, Alex Caruso.
Stop.
I just always fight.
G League Max.
Also out there. He's also out there as a free. I'm saying that that point guard market. I mean, there's a couple other guys I didn't even mention.
You didn't even mention Rondo.
Rondo, right. Alfred Payton, Ish Smith, Moutier, Jeremy Lin, DeLon Wright. Actually, DeLon Wright's not bad. He's restricted. JJ Barea. What's happening to JJ Barea?
He's out.
He will stay in Dallas. Yeah, he's obviously rehabbing from an Achilles. It's going well.
Yeah.
Shabazz Napier,
who played in the World Cup.
Really? Shabazz Napier, who had a decent year last year. So there's some guys out there. I mean, you can go way down the list even. You can get down to Shelvin Max of the world. But
Isaiah Thomas. TJ McConnell, too. Isn't TJ McConnell?
TJ McConnell is not only is he up, he's unrestricted. He had one of those 4-year contracts that he signed a second, or he was undrafted, wasn't he? Was he second round pick or undrafted? But
I don't honestly remember. But you know, he it was funny how he kind of slipped out of their rotation near the end of the year. I mean, I guess when Tobias Harris
he's a backup level point guard, but.
No, he is, yes. But he's pretty good. He's tough. You bring him in. He's one of those guys. Some guys, when they just sit, you can't ask them to come in and do something. They have a hard time with that. He's not one of those guys. You know, if you call him and he jumps off the bench shooting, you know, he's one of those guys. I like him.
The Lakers, if the Lakers get a max player, as you know, as their third guy, let's say there's a miracle and they get Kyrie, then they sign probably a center. I think DeAndre Jordan is a candidate there with their room exception. They're going to end up having to sign like 8 minimum guys. Even if they split up their salary amongst 3 guys, let's say they do that, which is more likely. Let's say they sign 3 guys and then they sign another guy to a room exception. So they sign 4 players and then they have 7 and then the second round guy they drafted, they're still going to have maybe 6 or 7 minimum guys. Who are the guys that the Lakers are going to sign to the minimum? I think we can have some.
That's a good question.
J.R. Smith.
I think it's almost a guarantee.
Like, right? Yeah.
I think it's almost a guarantee.
That's interesting. What could go wrong?
Korver?
If Korver gets bought out, he's got a partial guarantee. If Korver gets bought out from Memphis, I think he's a candidate as well. What about Melo?
Wow. I don't know, man. So you know what would be fun? How about Jared Dudley?
Jared Dudley is another one?
Yeah.
Possible. Yeah.
What about Rondo? I mean, what about Rondo?
I mean, he's
going to want more money than that. I don't know. I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, he's a proud guy, but he liked it there, you know. And he and LeBron.
I don't think Isaiah Thomas will be back, but
I'm going to say I agree with that. I think he's got a shot to stay in Denver. I don't know at what price, but I don't know.
I mean, who are they going to fill this roster out with?
That'll be interesting. I think he's more than a minimum player, but we'll see.
I'm sure he thinks so.
So, I mean, I know Gasol had surgery, pal, but would he go back?
I mean, all of these are fascinating. This is what happened with the Heat in 2010. Like, it was a parade of 35-year-olds.
Yeah, guys who are interested in playing for a contender in the sunshine. And here's the other thing. Yeah. Here's the other thing, though. The Lakers will be at the top of the line when it comes to the buyout market too. So I bet you they'll add, at least one or two kind of bench rotation caliber guys mid-season on minimums.
How about
and
this
don't forget name? All the overseas guys like Shane Larkin. You know,
how about this? Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, wouldn't that be amazing?
He had his moments last
year.
He had his moments last year in Memphis. If he played LeBron in Hollywood, it'd be Hollywood as hell.
He's like one of my favorite people, Joakim Noah. Isn't he just the most interesting guy?
I don't know how much
he can play anymore, but he's, you know.
Like I said, he wasn't bad last year in Memphis. He actually was an NBA, solid NBA, 15-20 minute per game big last year.
But how many games did he play, Tim? He didn't play. He was hurt too, right? How many games did he play?
Well, he didn't sign with them until fairly late, like what was it, December or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so you're not signing him to go play, you know, 82 games at 35 minutes.
No, of course not.
I have three names.
He played 42 games last year.
I have three names.
16.5 minutes.
I don't think any of these guys are going to want to take the minimum, but it's the Lakers. So what about Nerlens Noel? Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
What about two free agent Wolves? What about Taj Gibson? What about Anthony Tolliver?
Man, Taj Gibson on the minimum to me would be shocking.
Steal.
I can't see him taking it.
Me neither. Can I just tell you something? My ADD has kicked in a big way, but guess what? Just guess what? Maybe I did this wrong. Never mind. Well,
now you got to say it. Now we're all wondering.
So, Joakim Noah, guess what? Career rebounding average is.
He's one of the great rebounders in the league for a decade plus.
Well, yeah, but it got tanked in New York.
Well, that's it. He had all these weird, bad things happen to him, but he still is a career 9.1 rebound a game player. Sorry. It's a tangent. I'm back on with you guys. I'm back on the reservation.
Here in Memphis, he was a solid rebounder last year.
I've got a couple more guys, I think, for the Lakers. I think this is a fun game. If I'm boring you, what about Jamal Crawford?
Ah, man, I would love to see that. Hey, I saw Jamal Crawford in Dirk's home finale almost steal the show. He became the oldest dude in NBA history to score 51. Jamal Crawford can absolutely still get you some buckets.
And I would love to see
Jamal Crawford on a contender again. I don't want to see him playing out the string on a bad team. What about Vince Carter, if we're talking vets?
Vince Carter.
Well,
see, Jamal Crawford to me. I don't know, man.
I got one more name. I got two more names. All right, one for sure. Jeff Green.
Why not?
He's got LeBron ties.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys have LeBron ties.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see this guy taking the minimum. I understand that. It's more about, would you take the minimum, play for the Lakers for a year, increase your value, and then in 2020, when the free agent market is shallow, would you come back out? What about Jabari Parker?
I mean, he pays about as much attention to defense as LeBron does during the regular season.
Well, that's the thing.
But I don't think Brian can't
play any defense.
Those guys, if you're going to have a guy at the end of the bench playing the minute, like, you need him to come in and defend and create things and be like that over the top hustler. And that's what those guys are supposed to be doing and, you know, change the pace of the game. I don't see how Jabari Parker fits that mode.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering who they're going to fill with, to be honest.
Can I list three players out there?
Yes, please do.
What about guys that kind of didn't live up to their potential yet? Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, Cheick Diallo. Shouldn't the Lakers go after those young guys?
But those guys make more
money. Yeah, I think those all make sense. I will make a prediction that Cheick Diallo ends up in Dallas.
By the way, this is one of the things Tim Bontemps, he was all over this yesterday. Not that this would ever actually make it to a story. Cheick Diallo's cap hold was like basically like the minimum for the Pelicans to renounce him. Tim was like, why would they renounce him? The only reason they'd renounce him is if they wanted all their space immediately, which would mean they'd look for a guy like Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
So not to go into a Cheick Diallo. All right, Andrew, did you listen?
See,
go ahead, Andrew.
Go ahead, Andrew.
That's it. Cheick Diallo, Stanley Johnson, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson.
Okay. What about like Derek Williams, who played overseas last year? Those are the guys like come back from overseas. You want a chance to get back in the league.
Well, I would say that. By the way, another former LeBron teammate, Derek Williams. I think he was there for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The thing is, If I were advising, not that the Lakers would ever listen to me, most of the time when you look for guys like this, you look at the guys who are at the end of their career. I would heed sort of what Andrew's thinking, try to find some young guys.
Some bounce and some energy.
That's right. By the way, Stanley Johnson and LeBron.
Don't sleep on Shane Larkin. I love Shane Larkin. Can change the pace of the game for you. Plays hard. Big fan.
I'd rather have Rondo, to be honest. But
I don't know. Maybe you will get Rondo for the minimum. That would be something, though, wouldn't it?
Stanley Johnson and LeBron had a brief but hilarious feud during a playoff series with the Pistons when he was a rookie. He tried to run his mouth to LeBron, and it didn't go well. So there's some history there.
He made almost $3 million last year, didn't there? Or $4 million? Like, he's not going to take the minimum, I don't think.
Before we go, I feel like there's going to be a major curveball or two Sunday night or Monday morning where a team does something where you're like, whoa. And I'm going to nominate my team. I don't know. I'm putting you guys on the spot here. I'm not expecting you. I am wondering about Philly. When I heard that Philly was sniffing around Al Horford, because remember, Philly would have cap space if they let like Redick and one of those guys go. When I heard Al Horford in Philly, I was like, whoa, are they planning on some move there? So Philly is a team that it's going to take a lot to re-sign those dudes. And I know what Josh Harris said, but it doesn't mean they haven't had a change of heart. So Philly is a team. I mean, maybe Tobias and Jimmy and Redick sign by Monday at noon, and they're back and loaded for bear and thinking about the title. But Philly is a team I'm waiting for a big curveball on. Do you guys have any others?
Well, I mean, don't you think the whole Butler stuff is real, that there's a possibility that could actually happen?
Something about Butler being attached to other teams is making my eyebrow go up. Like, if this was all a done deal and set to go with 5 years, why is this still happening?
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
So, Philly is the team I'm watching.
So, here's the thing, though. He would be a man of his word. He would give him the max, and then he would trade him.
No, hey.
See, there you go.
Do you guys have anybody here?
Well, I mean, who knows? Go ahead. Tim, do you have someone?
I mean, you know, we've talked about the Pelicans. And,
yeah, they are sneaky, smart.
As we're talking about Jimmy Butler, obviously the Rockets. And to me, though, that's a little bit of I think the Rockets are damned if they do and damned if they don't. Because if they pull off this Jimmy Butler thing, which I still think is you know, like, it's a long shot, I would say, simply because the cap gymnastics involved, and I still think it's going to be a tough sell to Jimmy Butler to convince him to join a team where he's arguably the third option. But say they pull that off. So you've got Chris Paul and James Harden, who you've got some things to smooth out with those two guys, you know, in terms of, if nothing else, offensive philosophy. You drop Jimmy Butler, this other alpha dog, into the mix with a lame duck coach and very thin bench. Like, I don't know if that sounds great. Or the alternative is you run it back and you've got it, like, I don't worry about PJ Tucker's hurt feelings. Maybe a little bit about Eric Gordon, but have they crushed Clint Capella's confidence this summer coming off of a rough playoff series?
It's like, what are you all doing? Daryl doesn't care about that.
You know what? If he doesn't pull off the Jimmy Butler deal and they've got, you know, so it's like they've created either a very difficult situation for a lame duck coach with three stars and not much else, or a situation where, you know, you're going to have to look at these guys, hey, we love you guys, and they're thinking, bull spit. Like, what, you know, so, like, I just think.
Jackie, has there ever been a more perfect marriage for chaos than a locker room with James Harden, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler being covered by Tim McMahon?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
This would be amazing.
I'm buying season tickets.
This would be amazing. McMahon puts up with nothing.
So much gray in my beard already, it will be just white by the end of next season. Plus, I've still got the freaking, don't get me started.
All right, I can't wait. I would love that. I would just go to Houston for games and just sit there and watch that scene. I wouldn't even do anything, just sit in the corner. All right, well, thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective. We'll be talking to you early next week. Who knows what'll happen next time we talk to you. Have a good weekend and buckle up.